Jokic behind his back. What it tastes like, Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
As long as their fans don't get disappointed, that's all I care about. So the Warrior fans can come in here, the Celtics fans can come in here, the Laker fans can come in here. But take that L on the way out.
Jokic. Harris goes again.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am your host, Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. You are listening to the Denver Stiffs Podcast Network, and it is Tuesday. Tuesday, I know. We normally air on Mondays, but I'll tell you what happened. A wicked case of laryngitis hit the Mikosh household. I don't know if you can you can tell just by me recording the intro here, but as you can see, but a wicked case of laryngitis hits the Mikosh household, and I basically lost my voice over the entire weekend. And when you're podcasting, it's very difficult to do without a voice. I could have tried to tap in Morse code for you guys, but A, I don't know Morse code, and B, neither do you, let's be honest. So that we waited a day, we let things kind of clear up. By Monday, I was ready to roll, and so what we did is we decided, you know, there's only two games last week anyways. We'll go ahead and we will make this Monday night game with the Toronto Raptors part of the show, and then we can still look forward to the next three games upcoming. So that will be our show. I did do a recording a little bit earlier in the week with just myself, a little bit of solo podcast, talking about those Lakers and Blazers wins. So I will touch on that very briefly. Then we'll bring in Mr. Daniel Lewis, and we will go over that big win over the Raptors. Bit bittersweet though, as Gary Harris lose the game with an injury. We'll talk about that. Also, just the win in general and what happened. And then we will, like I said, look forward to the final three games of this road trip. It's all downhill from here, right? The Nuggets have done the hard work, but now perhaps maybe even harder is actually to go ahead and close out against three teams that you should beat. So that is going to be the show. So like I said, let's get into real quick. I had some thoughts on that Lakers and Blazers wins, and then we will roll into the portion with Mr. Lewis. All right, so the Nuggets, big two wins on the week. They get, to be honest with you, two wins I wasn't sure that they were going to get. It was a tough kind of schedule. The Los Angeles Lakers are one of the teams who have beaten Denver this season. They're also, their team has got LeBron James. So that is a major, major hurdle to overcome. We, of course, know that the Lakers fans are going to show out, even though it's in the game in Denver. They did. We'll get into that in just a bit. But, it certainly wasn't a guarantee by any means. The Nuggets made it look like it was a guarantee because they won that thing going away, 117-85. Absolutely demolished the Los Angeles Lakers, which was oh, so good. They follow that up, though, with the win over Portland, which was the Portland game. You kind of said, hey, that's if you get one of those games you're looking at the beginning of the year, kind of going through, putting wins and losses to everything. You probably look at that game as a potential loss. I mean, Portland is one of the better teams in the West. They've played that way this year. They played that way last year. You're in the Rose Garden or Moda Center or Groves Garden, if you're some people, but they again, another game that's not by any means a guarantee. In fact, you would even, I can't remember if they were favored or not in the Portland game, but they certainly don't have that as a gimme. They almost backed up the Lakers game with almost another impressive blowout. Sort of the theme of the Nuggets this season. They've just struggled somewhat to close out games. They almost do that against Portland. Of course, CJ McCollum misses a shot at the buzzer that would have got the win for the Trailblazers. Nuggets got away with a win and that one as well. Two high-quality wins. You don't really care how you get the win against the division opponent on the road. You just take it. And that, so you can't really nitpick. You don't want to nitpick that Portland game too much. But if I were going to look at which one did I like more, or which one did I think was like the sweeter win, I mean, it's the Lakers win, right? There's absolutely no way it can't be the Lakers game. That is the hated Lakers. And then the Blazers are hated too. And Jusuf Nurkić, I saw this, somebody threw out this stat that, you know, basically since Jusuf Nurkić wished the Nuggets a nice summer, He's 1-4 and basically he's been getting dominated by Jokic every single game. So that teaches you something, kids, about talking too soon when you're counting your chickens before they hatch, I guess is the saying in most places. But yeah, I mean, you know, that Lakers game is just the fact that they not only won but just absolutely embarrassed LA. I think it's LeBron's worst game so far in a Lakers uniform. Held them to what, 14 points? They absolutely had them dead to rights from the start. And then at the end of the game, it was kind of funny. You just saw the Lakers just like slowly be like, all right, well, we're not winning this thing. I think the Nuggets outscored them 28-14 in that fourth quarter. They essentially gave up. Was the way it looked to me. That I think that win speaks more for the Nuggets, though, in just that it kind of shows the attitude of the team, right? We all saw Jamal Murray waving to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as he juked him right out of his shoes, and then it knocks down the layup. Of course, Coach with the quote, "Take that L on the way out." You can get your shirts at Denver Stiffs right now. Your "Take that L on the way out" T-shirts. We have those available for you. Shameless plug. I've got no qualms with that. But make sure you guys are getting one. I have already got one myself. So, but that quote now is something that I think will live in Nuggets lore. Here's the reason why, and any Lakers fans or anyone out there who's listening to this and would maybe get upset at the Nuggets or upset at their attitude, like, you have to understand, okay, you guys have been, Lakers have been, they've been better their whole history. The Nuggets are not going to argue banners or rings, and yes, granted, it's been a down period for LA, but now they have LeBron James. I mean, the greatest player on earth is signing with the Lakers. Like, that's something that would never happen for the Denver Nuggets. The Shaquille O'Neal, right, coming to the Lakers and then winning three championships in a row, that would never happen for the Nuggets. And it hasn't, right? The Nuggets haven't even ever made an NBA Finals. So you have this team who's just always kind of not been able to get over the hump, not can't measure up to the legacy of Los Angeles. And then also there's a history there, right? Anytime the Nuggets have looked like, okay, they've got a shot, this is going to be, this could be their year, they always seem to run into the Lakers, whether that was in the 80s, whether that was in 2009. The Lakers have been the team in those few and far between moments where it looked like the Denver Nuggets could potentially have a chance to win a title. They've ran into the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals and lost, and then watched LA go on and win the championship, right? So there's an extra sting there. And then to basically put the cherry on the top and why Coach's quote rings home with us is you have all of that. And then on top of that, you have an arena that when you play LA, when you play Boston, when you play Golden State now, it wasn't like that, obviously, 5 years ago. But now, when you play Golden State, the arena, you have a hard time filling the arena, and it stings even worse because not only do you have Lakers fans who most people in Denver are gonna consider them to be one of the most obnoxious fan bases, and again, some of that's just because of the jealousy behind the fact that LA has always been one step above or several steps above the Denver Nuggets throughout our histories. But you have this Los Angeles Lakers team that the Nuggets are trying to get over, and you have these fans who are in the stands and they're being rowdy, and they're, every time the Lakers score, you're hearing the cheers, and you've got all of that going against you. And then you not only have to deal with their fans, but you're also dealing with the fact that you're not even the biggest, you know, you're the little brother in your own town, and that's why you can't fill up this arena, because Denver's a football town, and while it's rare, I mean, we saw against the Steelers the other couple weeks ago, but it's rare for Mile High to be anything but filled with orange shirts. Anytime the Nuggets play a team of any popularity, it's like you're at best 50-50. So you have all that working, and you finally have got this team now, this young team who's been so close themselves to getting over the hump 2 years in a row. You finally have them, and they finally seem to have everything together. Yes, you're dealing with some health issues, but you've got enough depth, and you've got these young players who aren't young players anymore. They're core players. They're essentially becoming the veterans of your team, as they're not even getting into their primes yet, but they're starting to finally move past those rookie hiccups. You've got all of this going for you, and then you have the vaunted Lakers come into your house, and their fans show up, and they've got LeBron James, and it's all this big hubbub, and you absolutely blow the doors off of them. And when you do that, your coach says after the end of the game, you can take that L on your way out. You want to come here? Fine. But you can take that L on your way out. And every single Nuggets fan right there, with all of that stuff that I was talking about built up inside of them, just absolutely said, hell yeah. Hell yeah, Coach Malone. That you're absolutely right. You guys can take that L on the way out, because this is our house. The Pepsi Center is our house, and we're going to bring it back to like it was in 2013, where nobody wants to play here, and we're going to be the loudest crowd from now on, and we're going to be the team that doesn't matter how well you think you can show out, because guess what? When it comes down to the court, you're not winning. Not in our house. You can take the L on the way out. That's why it's such a huge quote for all of us. It's why the Nuggets fans have really galvanized around it. It's why it's such a cool quote to come from your coach. And it's, man, I tell you what, the guy who had a lot of talk last season, you know, driven essentially by the fans, that basically, you know, this guy shouldn't be the coach anymore. There's a lot of people who wanted Coach Malone to be fired, especially because the Nuggets didn't make the playoffs. And even though the team was getting better and better and making improvement that everybody could see, you know, people, Denver, like I said, it's a Broncos town. And when you're over there at Mile High, there's the culture that you are playing for championships, or you're finding people, someone else who wants to come in here and make us play for championships. That's really, there's no other either or around that. But you can't do that as the Nuggets. One, the NBA doesn't have that parity that the NFL does. Two, the Nuggets, as I said, you know, we were talking about, they don't have the allure that the Denver Broncos team does in like free agency. You know, like I said, they're never going to get a LeBron. And three, it's just, you know, it's just not like you can just flip a switch and suddenly make everything better. The NBA, your players are they're so fewer than the NFL. I mean, it's so harder to find. And it's funny because the Nuggets are one of the teams who's done very well at it, but I think it's so much harder to find those diamonds in the rough. It's so much harder for them to get a player who can make an impact, the type of impact you need, because there's so few and far between, and every single miss hurts that much more. So, you know, you put it all together, like I said, and you get that quote from Coach, and it just sells it for the team, for the fan base. It earned him so many brownie points, because now everybody's like I said, they're like, hell yeah, Coach. That's what we're talking about. Of course, now if they go on like a 5-6 game losing streak, it'll all be forgotten. That is the fickle way of the fans. But right now, Nuggets riding high and starting to get some recognition as well. Right, we hear now that Paul Millsap has been basically was named Player of the Week. Millsap had an absolutely dominant two games. He was the reason you could pretty much point him as the reason I think they probably win both of these games, right? I mean, Paul Millsap had double doubles in both one. He has, I think, what, 22? No, he had 20 and 11 in the Lakers game, and then 22 and 10 in that follow up game. The crazy thing about the Lakers game with Millsap was that he only played 23 minutes, right? Because, like I said, the Nuggets pretty much took care of business, and then the Lakers rolled over in the fourth quarter. So when Millsap puts up that line, what you don't realize is he basically only did it in about three quarters of his game time, maybe not even that much, maybe only like 66%. Massive performance from him. He follows it up then in Portland with the 20.11 and the four steals. Just an active defense from Millsap in that one. A guy who, I mean, the Nuggets are starting to rely on this guy as, hey, this is the guy who can take us home night in and night out. Now, I mean, against the Blazers, obviously Gary Harris had a big night as well. Shot the ball a lot, but had a big night there to help them. Monty Morris was a very good that game as well. Still, Millsap, I mean, he just has this way about him. He's you don't want to call him a glue guy because he's better than a glue guy, right? Millsap is a all-star caliber player. At least that's what he's playing this year. I don't know, obviously, if he's going to get in the all-star game. It's a bit tougher in the West. It's a little more stacked over on this side than it was in the East when he was making all-star games back then. He's also, I think, the injury hurts his recognition since he was out all of last season. You know, he left Atlanta out of all last season. People kind of maybe forgot about him a little bit. So I don't know if he makes an all-star game. But he's been that kind of guy, I think, for now maybe about a week and a half, right? So he's given Denver this boost, and where he struggled probably to start out the year, especially offensively, just couldn't get it going. I think his defense has been solid throughout the season, but he really struggled to get things going on offensively. Now he's absolutely being one of the top guys they've got on offense, and you're seeing it, and he's getting more he's staying away from those kind of post fadeaways where he's really taking a tough shot from about, you know, 15 feet or so to maybe not 15, maybe about like 12, but I digress. He's realizing, like, night in, night out, he's finding there's not a lot of guys in the NBA at the power forward position who are as strong as him, right? And can actually body him up in the post. And he's getting position, and whether he's getting position by getting the ball and just backing his man down, a little bit old school style basketball, or we're seeing him just work for position off ball, and then Jokic especially is happening to find him. He's getting that ball. Jokic can fire it in there so well that he'll get, even though Millsap's got a guy right on him, Jokic can get him that ball when Millsap's basically at the restricted circle, and then it's a simple, he's just too strong for guys to stop him. In the Lakers game, that was especially prevalent because, I mean, Kyle Kuzma does not have the strength to stick with Paul Millsap. He just flat out does not. So Millsap can pretty much take him to task. And Kuzma, who had a big game, but if you remember, he really didn't have a big game when Millsap was on the floor. He was the one guy scoring for them once Millsap came off in the late third and then into the fourth. Kuzma, that's really when he racked up a bunch of points. But when Millsap was in there, not only did Kuzma not score, but he also had absolutely no answer for Paul on the other side. Now against the Blazers, Aminu did play very, very well. He was pretty much the thorn in the Nuggets side throughout. But again, on the defensive end, he just did not have the ability to get the stops on Millsap, and that's why he was able to dominate there as well. Huge game from Paul, and like I said, it's huge because you're seeing consistency now, right? We've seen him for more than a week, almost like 2 weeks now, basically put together a lineup that, or not a lineup, put together a run of games where he's night in, night out a guy that they can rely on. And so I think you're getting to a point like this is what we can probably expect from Millsap. Maybe he's not a 20-10 guy, but is he a 17-8, 16-8 kind of guy? Probably. That's, you know, in a block, maybe a couple steals or a couple blocks and a steal, something like that. You know, that's, I think, what the Nuggets, that's what they paid him to be. And I think we should start to expect it from him because at this point, I mean, he's been healthy. He's played every game. He's looked fine. He's looked like there's zero issues with the wrist. And he's seemed to have found his comfort zone now in this offense and found where he can be most effective, found where he needs to be on the court for Jokic to find him, to give him good looks that he can cash in easily. So I'm excited. I mean, it's a big – we'll see – we'll see how it goes. Obviously, it's a night-to-night thing, but Paul Millsap right now looking like the all-star player the Nuggets signed him to be. All right, let's go ahead. We will wrap up that conversation, and now let's get to our next segment with Mr. Daniel Lewis. All right, so let's talk about that Raptors game. I am going to bring in Mr. Daniel Lewis. Out in Virginia, staying up late. Dan, what's up?
Oh, I'm up at 10:30 in the evening, but I'm doing all right. 15. You know who else is up on top of the Western Conference?
Boom, the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets.
I like it. I like it, Dan. That's a solid transition. So yeah, we are we're recording this bit right after that Raptors game, right after Dan finished up the recap on that Raptors game. He's a multi-purpose tool here at Denver Stiffs. Not to call you a tool, Dan, but
I'm the Mason Plumlee of Denver Stiffs.
Yes. If we could only just get you to, like, you know, because you don't really ever post like highlight videos
or stuff like that. The fundamentals,
right? And when you think about it, highlight videos, those are kind of like the free throws of blogging, right? You just cash those things in. So it's a very astute analogy there, Dan. All right, well, let's get into this Raptors game. So the very first thing we got to talk about is Gary Harris exits with a hip injury, right hip injury. I don't know, Dan, I didn't see anything where I could say, oh yeah, that's where he hurt it. Did you?
When he drove in and got fouled, when he landed, you could see him grab at his right leg. So it could be like a groin or quadricep or hip. I think they just were saying hip because they didn't have an MRI. They don't really know the specifics. So I was like, he just hurt this section of his body.
Right.
If he played for the Avalanche, yeah. If he played for the Avalanche, it would have been a lower leg injury.
Lower body injury, right? Yeah, that's right. When Barton got hurt, they said during the game it was a hip. And then, of course, it comes back because it's a terrible way to do it. The PR's got to figure out a better way to come up with these descriptions, because like telling Nuggets fans in this day and age that it's a hip injury, that's like telling 90s Nuggets fans that it was a knee injury, right? Like, there is just, you always, your head immediately goes to Wilson Chandler or right now, you know, Isaiah Thomas going through the same thing, right?
Right.
So, you're like, oh my God, Gary Harris could be out for the year. So who knows? It could be. I mean, that's the scary thing. You have like no idea what it could be. It could be any of those things. The problem is if it's in any bit serious, you know, it's hard. Those aren't quick recoveries, as we've seen from Will Barton. That was about as best case scenario as you could get with a tear. Was the adductor, right? Because that it's a 6 week or so recovery time. That's pretty good compared to the torn labrum, as we've seen. That's an entire year. So,
the Nuggets did sign Brandon Goodwin from the G League. So hopefully, you know, right now that he's their fourth guard. So depending on how you count Torrey Craig, but they're really thin in the guard rotation right now.
Yeah, they are, and it's going to be, you know, you're already replacing Will Barton with Juancho Hernangómez. Now you're going to have to potentially replace Gary Harris. They've done Torrey Craig in the past, obviously, who's been the guy they've turned to there, and it's worked all right. I mean, they've maintained this winning streak through that Gary Harris injury, right? So I mean, there's hope for them, I think, to be just fine. And the other thing that I was reminding myself as I was thinking about the injury during the game is we keep hearing how Will Barton and Isaiah Thomas are both getting pretty close. We're in the month of December now. That's kind of been since the last updates. That was the last we had heard was that they were going to be sometime in December. I believe I've heard Barton is closer than Thomas. I think it was what they said on the broadcast the other night on the national broadcast, which is always, those are the ones I always wonder because those guys are a little bit further away from the team. So then maybe they don't realize, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have let that one slip. So that's my hope. It's like, man, you now it's getting to the point. If Gary Harris is out for a long time, you get to the point, like you said, they're so thin at their guard rotation. You get to the point where it's like, okay, now we do need Gary Harris. Or not Gary Harris, Will Barton back. Because that's really the guy who I think if you get him back, you could weather the storm of a Gary Harris injury because you replace, it's pretty much a one-for-one swap on offense. You don't get the same defense out of Will Barton. But the way this team is playing it defensively as a whole, I think that they'll be just fine. I mean, how concerned are you, Dan?
Well, I put it in my recap. I know you haven't had a chance to read it because we're doing it literally right after I published it. But... just, you know, if we get Will Barton back, the Nuggets can still run with that, you know, 3.5 guard rotation with Torrey Craig, where they bring in Barton and, or start the game with Barton and Murray and then bring in Morris and then, you know, sub out the other guy and bring back in Murray and just kind of rotate those three guys through. They'd be playing a lot of minutes, but I think they'd be able to make it work, especially with how well Wancho has been playing. Right. And Craig. I mean, Craig had a good game tonight, too, against Beasley, the Raptors. Honest, so oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about him. Beasley, he'll still be fine there as well, but I think they'll be fine if they can get Barton back, but he's probably not going to be back for another 10 days is my guess.
So if you're checking, I've been doing this all season because I'm like, I'm trying to find cryptic messages, and so far I've found none. So take this with a grain of salt. But right now, if you look at the injury report, the Nuggets have listed Will Barton to be out until at least December 7th, which at time of airing of this podcast would be just 3 days away. But let me tell you, as I said, I've been watching it all season. They update this thing constantly. They just get to that date. They're like, meh. We'll just push it back another month or another week. I've been trying to read, like, especially with Michael Porter Jr. and Jared Vanderbilt, both listed out to December 15th right now. Huh. But I've been trying to read those guys, and so far, trying to figure out which one might be closer. So far, no insight has been gained. But if you take anything into or if you take the injury report for anything, that's currently where those guys are listed. So we know they're at least out until December 7th, which is what? That would be the return. I think that would be when the Nuggets get back from the road trip thereabouts. No, that would be Friday. They would still be in they'd be in Charlotte on that night. So I think you're right.
Do you want to keep dishing on the road trip, or you want to talk about some of these sweet wins that we've picked up?
Oh, no, we can definitely get back to the wins. I got a little distracted there because I got into the injury report like I always.
Yeah.
No, but so okay, let's go back to the win. Let's go back to the game against the Raptors. The Nuggets, of course, pull it off in the end. I mean, the first thing, Dan, before I get into, I want to ask you, of course, just the simple question of how big of a win this is. But I also want to get into you first, though. Like, if they had lost this game, because it comes down to the final shot. We've seen this now several games in a row. How concerned are you about the fourth quarter execution? Because if there's one thing you can really point to right now is where they're struggling, I'd say it's that.
Yeah, things definitely were a little tougher for them in the fourth quarter, but I mean, I think that's also probably related to the fact that they had to go against Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam, and Serge Ibaka. Like, that's a really good defensive five.
Yeah.
And the Raptors definitely, it felt like they were coasting in the first half a little bit on defense, just trying to get some points, but they really tightened up in the second half. Not having Gary Harris hurt, because I definitely think they were game planning to have him in there. And
right.
Craig just cannot do the same things that Gary Harris can. right. in terms on of offense. Ball handling. Yeah, on offense, he's a great defender, but he cannot run the triple handoff offense, and so they end up with a lot of Jamal Murray, trying to isolate or, get separation in the pick and roll, and he's too inconsistent in beating his guy off the dribble or attacking angles and getting the ball to the roll guy. He just doesn't have enough, familiarity with that kind of an action to really be consistent there. But I think it's just something that we just have to kind of live with right now. Murray shows flashes, and he's talented enough of a player that when things break down, he's still able to get, to get buckets. He had that really nice spin move on Danny Green into a mid-range jumper in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And that's not your best shot, but if you have a player that's able to knock that down at a 45% clip, you take that in the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah, I think I noticed a lot of that in the fourth quarter, and they got it done. That's the thing, like you said. I mean, they weren't. I thought a lot of the time they didn't have the best opportunities or they didn't get really the best looks, and they still were able to hit enough of them to get it going down. And then what was weird is at the end, you thought, I actually thought Jokic had a couple of decent looks, especially that three-pointer, and he missed it.
Yeah.
He missed it badly. But then he also comes up with some big shots and some big free throws. The thing about the fourth quarter execution that I just – because we saw it in the Blazers game too, right? They had the Blazers dead to rights, and then they almost let them come all the way back in and get that win. Same thing when, they escape at the buzzer on the final possession. I guess you take it, you can't really complain because it's different. It'd be different if, you've got, for example, if they have the Atlanta Hawks dead to rights and then they let them come all the way back and only to miss the shot at the buzzer. That's something you could be upset about. These are the Toronto Raptors and Portland Trailblazers, just two really good teams. You beat them in their house. You take that anyhow you can. But I don't know. I think we saw it against Milwaukee as well. Another game they really struggled to close out that one. They actually lost. So I guess I chalk it up maybe to just them being young and not having the experience yet. And to their credit, they're still getting it done most nights. But that's the sort of thing when those, because when you look at the playoffs, right, those games, it's like a fourth quarter of the entire game throughout. The intensity is like that. And it just looks like right now, if there's one place the Nuggets really struggle is when the other team ratchets up that intensity on them, then they, as we saw tonight with the defensive intensity specifically on Toronto, they sort of lock up and they can't. And suddenly they can't get their shots to fall. Suddenly they're not moving as much. Suddenly it's just a.
Yeah, I look at it though just as the Nuggets right now are in a 50 game experiment. They have 50 games to kind of tinker and be like, okay, let's try, let's try this out. It's okay to live with some mistakes, Coach Malone has done a good job calling timeouts. I mean, let's correct that. Let's not do that again, or he'll put Monte Morris in. But players especially Jamal Murray, he has the next 50 games to really kind of figure out what he's comfortable with as a point guard. Wancho, is comfortable big on defense and offense, crashing the offensive glass, working with Millsap. Hopefully he can stay healthy for the rest of the season.
Right.
But I'm looking for this team to really just be healthy in that final 10-15 game stretch, because the pace that they're on right now is they're figuring things out. They're not healthy, and they're the number one team in the Western Conference. So if they can keep that up, I don't expect them to be the number one team come April 10th. But if they're a top four team and they can get home court in the first round, I'm willing to let them kind of figure it out and be inconsistent right now, so that they can be consistent and they can have a lot of material to study and things to go over with the coaching staff. And so far they've shown right. That they're able to be up to that task.
Yeah, and I like that too. I like the 50 game kind of thing figured out. And that's really it, right? You get, then you use those last 30 games, guys get healthy, and then by that last couple weeks, couple month or so of the season, everybody knows what they're doing, everybody's in their roles, and you just go with it. That's how you want it to pan out. It'll be interesting to see. You know, the thing we've always said is that the Nuggets are going to, Coach Malone's going to have such a struggle when all these guys get healthy. It'll be interesting to see, though, if the Nuggets, I wonder if they won't, he doesn't get that problem until right there at the end of the season, if at all, this year, just because it seems like they constantly are getting injury bug. Now, hopefully Gary's only out, hopefully not at all, but even if he is out for some games, maybe just a few, and it's nothing long-term, but, you know, if it is, then it's like, man, you're just about to get Will Barton and maybe Isaiah Thomas back, and now you lose Gary Harris. That would be a tough blow. To wrap it up, I guess, here on the Raptors, Dan, like I said, I wanted to ask you at the beginning, I said I was going to ask you this. So, I mean, just how big of a win is it for Denver?
I think it's a pretty big win. Like, the Nuggets, they keep knocking off these really good teams in the league.
Right.
I do think the league, I don't know if it's, I mean, the Warriors aren't quite as good because of injuries, but the Nuggets beat them when they were still pretty, I think, at full health.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they have wins over the Celtics, the Raptors, the Clippers. They haven't lost in their division. The Nuggets have a lot of really good wins, and I think that's really important for this young team to kind of give them that confidence, because when they come out and they're like, yeah, we can, and it's not only just like blowing teams out on offense either. They can be like, look, we're beating these top teams in the league by locking up on defense and then working with Jokic and running our system. And
right.
If they can win against the best teams doing that, I think they can finally be like, they can go to Coach Malone and he can say, hey, look, I've told you guys for the last 3 years, if we play defense, we're going to win games. You know, we'll figure it out on offense, but we need to defend. And they can start to back that up. And it's, you know, it's a long season, but like they're going to be like, okay, yeah, we need to put in this work every day, every game, you know, to be a good defensive team and to grind out these wins.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way. And wins like this keep just reinforcing that message from the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Exactly. The once again, you know, they wasn't always perfect on offense tonight. They didn't. I mean, what? They only scored 106. So it's not like like last year, as we saw so many times, and then just going to outscore teams to win games. They did this with their defense. They did this with some good execution. They did this with a little bit of a, I'll say it. I mean, I thought it was a bogus call there right at the end. If I was a Raptors fan, I would have been pissed. If that call had been against the Nuggets, I would have been pissed. You can't call that on the last possession of the game. But they got a little help from the refs there, which was fine because, honestly, I thought the whistle was pretty crappy for them all night. But it's a big win because, it legitimizes them once again. Like you said, they've beaten a bunch of really good teams. They've beaten them all at home so far, I think. I don't think they've beaten any of them on the road yet. This was a win against the best team in the NBA.
Just the Clippers. Yeah, just the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, and that was true. And they beat the Clippers way back in the
first game of
way
the season.
Way back at the start of the year. Yeah, first game of the season, exactly. I mean, and they beat the Blazers the other night as well. So they're starting to stack them up. But the Raptors are, you know, the Raptors have kind of separated themselves right now as, like, clearly the best team in the East, clearly a team who is going to, will challenge to be in the finals, potentially a team who could even give a run at winning the finals with their roster. The Nuggets came into their house, like we said, and beat them. So that gives them – it's big, I think, because that it just gives them that much more confidence. Now, the key is you got three games against teams that at their face, you know, they don't look that good. But you know what? The Hornets and the Magic, I mean, they're 500 basketball teams, and you're on their court. And then you, of course, got Atlanta, who's the worst team, one of the worst teams in the NBA, but – you know, especially if you've had this amazing road trip and let's say they've won every game going into Atlanta on a back-to-back, that you could see that another classic trap-type game that the Nuggets of old would have dropped. So it's a big confidence builder, but they gotta close it out. And I think – so let's – you know, before we get into
the last time we played the Hawks, we won by 45 points.
This is true. This is true. They are the Hawks. But tell you what, let's go ahead. Let's hit a break. And then when we come back, we'll go ahead and we'll dive into these last three road games. We've all been there. When the budget's the tightest or a time is the shortest, that's when disaster strikes. The last thing anyone wants to deal with in these times is an electrical issue in their home or business. Maybe your light suddenly won't turn on, or maybe a home inspector wants that electrical service changed before you can close out on a property you're selling. Heck, maybe it's not even an emergency at all, and you're just looking to finish out your basement or get some power ran to that new AC unit. Whatever your need may be, give Sun Electrical a call. They're a family-owned and operated business that serves the Front Range, and you can be assured that you'll not only get the highest quality service, but you'll also get the most affordable price as well. Mike, the owner of Sun Electrical, will come to your home or business personally to evaluate your situation and provide a free estimate. And he stands by the work Sun performs as a fully licensed and insured electrical contractor. So give him a call, 719-659-6888. Don't be fooled by the phone number, as they'll serve the entire Front Range from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins and everywhere in between. That's 719-659-6888. 719-659-6888. Sun Electrical, the home of truly affordable electrical work. To the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I'm Zach Mikosh. We're here with Daniel Lewis. We're both from DenverStiffs.com. Wrapped up the week that was with the Nuggets. Three big wins. The Lakers, the Blazers, and the Raptors. That is about as good of a run as you can have right now in the NBA. They now have three more games in this, what is a five-game road trip. And now it's a little bit of a reprieve, right? Like I was saying before the break, these are 500 teams, the Hornets and the Magic. And then Atlanta, of course, is one of the worst teams in the NBA. Nuggets, of course, go down to Orlando first. Then they will hit the Hornets on Friday, play a back-to-back with the Hawks then on Saturday. Dan, which team, I don't even know if I want to ask you which team worries you the most, but which team do you think the Nuggets will have the hardest time with?
Oh, Charlotte, easily.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker, I don't know if you guys knew this, but lots of people may have forgotten this, but he's pretty good. He's really good. And the Nuggets, you know, point guard defense is not one of their strong points. The Hornets are, you know, a well-coached team, and Kemba Walker is a really good point guard. Orlando, I mean, the Nikola matchup is entertaining, but I'm not too concerned about them. We're familiar with DJ Augustine, and the Magic. If we're worried about the Nuggets executing in the fourth quarter, the Magic are even worse. So if the Nuggets are able to have a solid lead over them and, you know, entering the fourth quarter, they'll be fine.
Right. Yeah, we've already seen Orlando once. The Nuggets handled them fairly easily. You know, that was a pretty big blowout game against the Magic there. I think the Nuggets just have too much. Orlando's one of those teams that, I mean, they don't have the depth. And really, I mean, none of these teams do. And that's unlike the Raptors who do. And we saw them actually, their bench actually win that matchup in the game. None of these teams have the depth to contend with the Nuggets bench. So if you're not going to get out in front of Denver's starters, you're going to end up getting yourself in a real big hole pretty quick. And by the fourth quarter, you're going to be in big trouble because you've taken that bench shift twice now, and you've probably been a minus on both times. That's really a tall ask of Orlando or even Charlotte to try and outplay the Nuggets starters, because the Nuggets starters are also very, very good. And that is going to be the key, I think, in both of those games, especially the Charlotte one, is the Nuggets bench. And will they come, will they give them that advantage? I'm with you, though. I think the Hornets are certainly the toughest team because of Kemba Walker, right? I mean, he's one of the best point guards in the NBA. He's having a phenomenal season. And he's a guy who can be gets rolling with the crowd. So if he starts to get going, he's at home, the crowd's going to get into it. And, I mean, we've seen him just completely completely take over games with his scoring ability. He's a guy that, man, if we could get him in a Nuggets uniform, I think he's probably the guy now that Nuggets fans, now that we have Paul Millsap, maybe Kemba Walker is like the next guy that all Nuggets fans should be pining for.
No way.
On the Nuggets. No?
No way. I'm fully on board the Kevin Durant train.
I'm not, man.
Snakes can live in Denver.
No way. We've got Kevin Durant 2.0. So there's no worries there. I'm gonna pass on KD in the soft Charmin soft blanket that he is. Boom. How's that for a hot take? All right. So Dan, the Nuggets are now, of course, they're 2-0 on this road trip. They've won what, 6 games in a row?
5 games. 6 games.
I think it's 6. I think it's 6 now with the win over Toronto.
I think it's 6, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, you looked at this road trip and you thought, well, realistically, they should go 4-1, right? You want to get a split with the Blazers and Raptors games. You didn't really care which one, but as long as you got one of those two, you'd feel okay. And then you take care of business against Orlando, Charlotte, and Atlanta. Now that they've won both games, do you feel like they can afford to drop one? Or do they need to cash that win against the Raptors, basically? And if they don't go 3-0 and basically go undefeated on the road trip, then it's a disappointment.
No, I mean, looking at the schedule, I think that they should be favored in all the games they have on the rest of their schedule up until their big primetime ESPN matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the 14th in Denver. And then they play the Raptors 2 days later on the 16th. But I think they should be able to – I mean, they probably won't, but it'd be awesome to have them go 5-0 on a road trip.
Right. Right, yeah. I mean, I don't know when the last time they went 5-0. They had a good, right?
Probably
they closed
never.
Out. Well, they closed. They didn't go 5-0. They closed out that road trip at the end of the season last year, really strong. Right, that was part of that run they had right at the end of the year. They had to basically go out and win on the road, and they pulled it off. But that's, I mean, yeah, I can't think of any time where they've done that, especially when you had teams like Portland and Toronto. So to me, it is a disappointment if they drop any of these games. Like I said, I mean, Charlotte is a good team. Orlando is probably better than people realize. Atlanta sucks, but they'll be playing them as the last game of the road trip on a back-to-back. I mean, if there's ever a game that's a trap game, that is it right there. So,
well, then coming home against Memphis too.
That's a tough one too. Yeah, that first game back is always tough. And Memphis is a good team as well, and they are one of the teams that has beaten the Nuggets so far this year. So, and a team that basically said, "All right, you want to play tough defense? That's fine. We can do that, and we can we'd be more than happy to win that game."
Yeah, Gasol is definitely in favor of slowing the pace down.
Right. Also, man, Jaren Jackson. That
he's very good.
Playing very well. That's for next week's show, though. That is for next week's show. All right, Dan, I'll let you get out of here on this. Give me a prediction. Do they go 3-0 on the road trip?
Yes.
Or on the road trip, I should say.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. 3-0.
3-0. 5-0 out. Dan's predicting a 9-game winning streak for the Denver Nuggets. That would have to be the longest winning streak since the 2013 season. I think they won something crazy that year, like maybe like 16 in a row or something like that. So I'll go with you. I'm gonna say yes.
Nice.
I'm gonna believe that they can get this done. They should get it done. Those are three teams they should be able to beat, even on their home courts. Hopefully Gary Harris will be okay, and that won't, you know, Dan. Well, I'll close with one more thought. I was just thinking, looking at the schedule. Speaking of that Memphis game, you know, a guy from Memphis, even though the game's in Denver, Will Barton, not from Memphis, went to college in Memphis. Wouldn't that be a great game for him to make his return? Probably not going to happen because they don't have any time to practice before then, but whatever.
I do want to ask you a question. I think we have time. Do we have time?
Yeah, we got time. We got
okay.
time.
What has been your favorite win of the season so far?
Ooh, favorite win. That's That's a tough one. I would probably go the Boston game just because it would have been it definitely would have been the favorite if Jamal hits that three at the end just to dry that one. But that game was so fun. If you're gonna ask me what was the most fun game I've watched, it was definitely that Boston game. The only game that I think it came close to that in terms of fun was this game tonight with Toronto. But yeah, I would go with the Boston win. What about you?
I think my favorite game so far this season was the Golden State win.
Okay.
I mean, it was early. We didn't really know what the team was yet, but just a really fun back and forth game. And you know, they're the defending world champs, and just the ending really stands out.
Right.
But I think
Wancho block.
I think it's the like happiest game for me was definitely the win over the Lakers, yes. Because you got to take that. Those good vibes into Thanksgiving. Be really grateful for that. And we didn't just beat the Lakers. Like, we beat them by, like, 32 points. We smacked them down.
Right.
That was just such a great win.
That was. I would agree. And then, of course, you got the, like I was talking about early in the show, but you get that classic quote from Coach Malone afterwards, which pretty much cemented it as that year. That was a really fun one as well. That one was definitely satisfying as a fan. It's been a fun run. This win streak. When you think about it, they started with that win in Minnesota, and then have a win. You know, the win in Oklahoma City's in there. The Los Angeles, Portland, or Toronto. I mean, it's been a really good winning streak for them. It's been a lot of fun. All right, well, I think we will go ahead and wrap up the show right there. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter. I am at Zach Mikosh. Dan is at Minuteman Dan. Also follow at Denver Stiffs.
Check out our YouTube page.
Check out our YouTube page.
Our Instagram.
Sure, subscribing. Our Instagram at the Denver Stiffs. I was like, Dan, do you want to? You've only got. I think there's only one more social media, and then one more reminder to subscribe if you want to close it out.
We got the Twitter at Denver Stiffs. I will not be tweeting as much. I'm sorry, folks, for the remainder of the month, but I'm getting married on December 28th. So
there you go.
Shout out to Verging. And but until next time, let's go Nuggets and let's keep the good times rolling.
There you go. All right, make sure you're also following us or subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you guys are getting your iTunes. All right, everybody, we will talk to you next week. This is